Let's read together Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. In this last section of Romans chapter 6, we learn that because of God's grace, believers are free, not free to sin, but free to serve God in righteousness. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's begin with some background notes. The Epistle to the Romans is Paul's masterpiece on the doctrine of salvation. In Romans, we learn how a holy and righteous God can save unholy and unrighteous people. Now, how is that possible? Because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. Now God can save anyone and everyone who believes. In Romans 1:16, Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." So salvation is not attained by works, but by believing God. This is what saving faith is all about. It starts with believing God, what God has said, and what God has done. Now, this is all covered in the first four chapters of the Epistle to the Romans. Now, when we come to Romans chapter 5, we are moving on to truth for the believer. In Romans 5 through 8, we have the great privileges of the justified believer. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified means to be declared righteous by God himself. Now, in the first half of Romans 5, we learn about some of the great blessings and benefits of the package of salvation which God has given to us. And then in the second half of Romans 5, we learn that Christ not only died as our substitute, but he died as our representative as well. As our substitute, Christ died for us. As our representative, we died in Christ. This is our spiritual position in Christ. In fact, in Romans 5 and 6, we learn that we are not only united with Christ in his death, but also in his resurrection. This is the way God sees us, in Christ. We've died with Christ, we've been buried with Christ, we've been raised with Christ. This is our spiritual position in Christ. That brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for this last section of Romans chapter 6. So doctrinal point number one, the believer is no longer a slave of sin. The believer is no longer a slave of sin. Because our salvation is a gift of God's grace, and it is not by works, and it is not by keeping the law, there might be a tendency to say, well, we may as well go ahead and sin. After all, it's all covered by God's grace. Well, that's exactly the question that is raised in verse 15. Look at verse 15 again. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Now, that question sounds very similar to the question back in verse 1 of chapter 6. Let's read that. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? But notice the difference. In verse 1, the question is whether we should continue to practice sin. Continue to sin. Practice sin so that grace may abound. Since the more sin, the more grace. Look back at chapter 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Well, what's the answer here? The answer to this question, of course, is certainly not. May it never be. Perish the thought. We're united with Christ in his death for sin, and we've been raised with Christ to walk in newness of life. How could we ever think of such a thing as continuing to practice sin so that grace may abound? But now here in verse 15, we don't have exactly the same question, even though it sounds quite similar. Here the question is not the matter of continuing to sin or practicing sin, but sin even just a little bit. After all, verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." That is, the power of sin in our lives as believers is broken, and we are not under law, but we're under grace. And we're certainly not going to let sin reign in our lives, verse 12. So what difference does it make if we commit a few sins here and there? Don't worry about it. God's grace covers it. What's the biblical answer here? Certainly not. May it never be. What kind of thinking is that anyway? Don't you know that if you take that attitude, before long you will become a slave to sin? Verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? In other words, sin snowballs and leads to death. Look also at verse 21. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Now, before you became a Christian, that's all that could be expected. We were slaves of sin because we had a sinful nature, and we were powerless to do anything but sin. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But now, you see, things are different. We've been set free from the slavery of sin. Verse 18, because we believed the gospel and were saved and given new life in Christ. I love the way verse 17 puts it. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Notice, you obeyed from the heart. That's more than head belief. That's saving faith. And what was believed? The doctrine that Paul preached, salvation through faith in Christ alone. And now verse 18. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now, free from sin here does not mean sinless, and it doesn't mean you are no longer with a sinful nature, but in Christ we are free from the power of sin. So the believer is no longer a slave to sin, but is now a slave of righteousness. And that is our doctrinal point number 2. The believer is now a slave of righteousness. Now, the reason Paul says in verse 19 that he speaks in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh is to emphasize that he's speaking in terms the Romans can understand. He's speaking in terms we can understand. As slaves of righteousness, you see, we're not actually in bondage. But it's a good contrasting parallel with slaves of sin. Now, do you see the contrasting parallel here? Two different masters. Sin on the one hand, God on the other. Two different methods. Wages on the one hand, gift on the other hand. And two different results or consequences. Death on the one hand, eternal life on the other. So verse 23 is a summary of this contrasting parallel. Let me read it again. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, normally we use Romans 6:23 as a gospel text, right? And that's certainly a good and proper application. But in context, Romans 6:23 is really a summary of two contrasting ways of life. The unbeliever serves sin and continually reaps wages which lead to death. But the believer serves God and already has the gift of eternal life in Christ, which lasts forever. What a contrast. Now you might be saying at this point, well, Dave, that sounds great, but it doesn't work for me. I know I'm a Christian, but I still serve sin. The point of this passage is that it can work. In Christ, we are not only free from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin as well. Let's read verse 18 again. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And verse 22. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. When we became Christians, we were given new life in Christ. We now have a new divine nature, which is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, there can be victory over sin. We still sin, but we are not slaves of sin. The believer is now a slave of righteousness. Now, practical application. Remember, we are not sinless, but we should sin less. Remember, we are not sinless, but we should sin less. Before the fall, Adam was able not to sin, as well as able to sin. He did have a choice. After the fall, Adam was not able not to sin because of indwelling sin or the sinful nature or the flesh. When we become Christians, we are given a new divine nature, even though we still have our old sinful natures. Therefore, as Christians, on the one hand, we are not able not to sin. We will not become sinless in this life. In fact, 1 John 1, verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But on the other hand, we are able not to sin because we have new divine life in Christ. 2 Peter 1:4 says that we are partakers of the divine nature. So in any given situation, we do not have to sin. In Christ, we can do the right thing. We can yield to righteousness. And that's the key to having victory over sin. And you can do it. We look forward to heaven when in our resurrected bodies, we will not be able to sin. A position even better than unfallen Adam. Praise the Lord. But right now, we still sin, but we don't have to. In Christ, we have the ability not to sin. Remember, as Christians, we are not sinless, but we should sin less.